Hello and welcome to episode 29 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. I am joined tonight by my co-host. He is the man they call Russ from Scotland Surrey. Russ, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm very well, sir. I'm very well, sir. I'm looking forward to hopefully a good episode ahead.
I would hope so. I would hope so. I gave you a wee intro there as a tribute to the late Vader, the man they call Russ. I want you to get a mask, mainly because it would mean I'd have to look less at your face on the podcast. So there we go. I only get that pleasure. It's only for me. I keep that as a wee secret me. It's one of those fun evenings. So yeah, let's have a wee look at some current Surrey news then, Russ. There's not been a whole heck of a lot on the football front, as my dog decided to run out there, so apologies if there's any background noise. Surrey launched the new calendar for the next few game weeks today. There wasn't a whole lot on it, Russ, but there was a couple of things on there that I'd seen. Is there anything that took your fancy? Are you fancying the mystery jersey competition, for example?
I'll probably pass, to be honest. It's not something that I'm really after, but...
No.
Do you know what? It's... There'll be lots of people out there that when they put up these things for tickets and jerseys and, you know, all that jazz, that memorabilia collectors or guys that just want an experience as well as playing the game and things, you know what, hey, it'll absolutely hit the note for them and they'll be really, really keen, obviously, to win these things. It's good to see that they're still rolling out new comps, I think.
Yeah, I would agree on that one. And I think with the... I think it's a full limited team for the jerseys. So it's possibly another way to try and maybe stimulate that market a little bit, because obviously, as we've discussed on previous pods, you know, that the prices had definitely dipped. How much of an impact it'll have is probably negligible, to be honest. But I did notice, interestingly, you could use two legend cards in the competition there as well. So that was a wee bit interesting. And obviously, you've got your captain in it as well. So if you've got a card sitting there that you would normally use in other competitions, it's, you know, if you can win an actual piece of, you know, a prize that you could wear as opposed to another digital card, that's always kind of cool as well. And it's going to be from one of the licensed partners as well. So they might end up with a Dundee United top for us. That could be a wonderful booby prize for someone.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it here. That would be a fantastic prize, let's be honest. But yeah, five limited cards, two legends allowed as a max, and you're also getting to captain someone as well.
Yeah.
I do notice it says a 21-22 football kit, which is last year's kit.
Yeah, but that's what happens. You clear out the old stock and pass it on. I don't know if
that's just a typo.
Oh, no, it won't be a typo. It won't be a typo, I don't think. But it also says that they're not signed ones, so it's not like the 300 competition where it was all signed. But you know what? Hey, at the end of the day, something extra that you could possibly win. Obviously, there was a wee change to the kickoff competition. I don't think we really mentioned that, Russ, because I think, to be honest, I hadn't looked at it greatly because we'd both sold out of the limits. So we were kind of, it wasn't something that really took my fancy, but obviously that's there. But I've seen that they've probably made it slightly more fair for new users in that they have made it, you know, limited to only 10 cards or under, 10 limited cards or under that you hold.
Yeah, that's. I think that's quite a good thing. I actually looked at it last week. A couple of friends I was speaking to, and they put their limited kickoff teams in, and I actually genuinely thought that you couldn't play it. For example, if you were playing like Academy or something like that, you know, I thought it was either or scenario.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking here. All players must have an average score below 55 in their last 15. A maximum of 4 commons. One or two limited cards. Limited cards get you a 20% bonus. Your captain has to be limited. And you cannot own more than 10 limited cards in your gallery. So that's quite good. I don't know if that restricts you, though. For example, say, you know, I'm sitting here with, I think, one limited card now in my gallery, my reminder card. But I don't know if that would say if I went and got, you know, two, if I could play that competition or not, do you know?
I think you could. I couldn't because I've got my full squad of Dundee cards.
So you do.
So I wouldn't be able to play it. But yeah, do you know what? That's all good. That's all good. The whole point of it is one of these ones that's aimed at new users. And the problem when they do introduce new competitions is invariably everybody who's been around for 3 years wants to jump on board. So, you know, it's aimed for new users, and let's hope that, you know, it brings more users into the game, because you are only having to use, you know, as we've just said, two cards. So that could theoretically be, what, £2, £3, £4? You know, depending on what your common cards that you've got in there as well. Because if you've been lucky enough to get a Messi or an Mbappe or something like that, then you've got a really strong team. And you only need, you know, two cards that can, they could, you know, turn in a big score once in a while. So I think that'll be quite interesting.
It just says, I've just noticed on their sort of their editorial, it's just, you know, it says the purpose here, we want to give new academy graduates a clear path to move forward on their career journey in a fair way. We are exploring the ideal time to introduce the kickoff competition with new scarcities as well, so stay tuned. So that sounds as though that there could be, for instance, for those guys that want to step up from limited to rare, looks as though there could be a kickoff rare competition that's maybe just one rare card, two rare cards.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, you know, reading between the lines, that kind of is what they're hoping to stimulate. It would probably be nice, I think, just that for that kickoff limited, it would probably make a little bit more sense, certainly in my head, that you've got just a maximum of 10 cards in total, and that would stop the guys, say, like me, that go out and, you know, I'm not going to, but that I could go out and get, like, one or two limited cards and enter the competition, and just through experience and knowing who's maybe, you know, like, say, one of the J-League cards that scores 100 near enough every week, you know, pulling that out of the bag and then going within that competition would be a little bit off, I would have thought, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's, like I say, that's kind of been the legacy issue. When they have a new competition, boys are just going to want to jump in. It's fair enough, you can do it. It's everybody's prerogative to do that. But like you say, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if they do put one, because that's something we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, and funny that we've spoke about it and it's possibly been looked at. But, you know, just I say that in jest, but to give a pathway from limited to rare, but also to give, you know, where you've maybe just got two rare cards, a pathway to then build that squad. So if there's going to be a rare kickoff, brilliant. That could help guys with only a couple of cards build into maybe three or build into four or what have you. So I definitely think that's, you know, it's a positive, definitely a positive. And as I say, I mean, even like where I've got to just now, I mean, I'm very happy just playing the rares. But say I did want to take that step into super rares, and I would be on a very modest budget, put it that way. But it would give a pathway possibly to being able to do that. You know, if you're only having two super rares and you could enter them into that competition. I think so. If there's constant progression or ways to progress in the game, I think that's what's been missing in the platform probably since we started Rust, to be perfectly honest. So I think it all sounds good, and it's, you know, it's hopefully it continues that way.
Do you think there's also the fact that it's good to see that there are still a couple of new things coming out? The team at Surrey are obviously very busy with the pending NBA.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think we've seen that when the baseball was going to launch, that things kind of went a wee bit quiet on the football front in terms of hearing anything or what have you. And it's kind of done the same. I did notice, I think it's this coming, well, it'll be Tuesday the 18th. They're doing a community event, and it's going to be basically the launch of the NBA platform, which, again, I'm all for them expanding the horizons on Surrey itself. It diversifies the portfolio and just helps the rest of it, you know, continue along. We did have a little joke a few weeks ago about NBA Jam being the extent of our basketball knowledge, Russ, but I don't think we'll probably have I'd be very surprised if we ended up having a basketball section on the podcast. But I know that you're maybe thinking of getting some limiteds, depending on how it's all going to pan out. I might do more so than the baseball. I think if anybody's seen my tweets where I've put screenshots of how badly I've done in a full game week with all the players playing, I managed to finish about, I don't know, 30th bottom, which is impressive, I think. I think it's impressive to get guys scoring huge minuses and leave yourself with next to no points.
I think you might have to change your name, your name to Surreal on the bottom.
That's... That sounds rude, Russ. That sounds rude.
It does a little bit.
In fairness, I don't think we've said before, zero knowledge about baseball, and unfortunately, it's not a sport that interests me. It just isn't. It's, you know, it's like what if I was given a choice between paint dry, cricket, or baseball? That paint, boy oh boy, that dried so quickly.
Yeah.
So that's just me again, and I know that people are fascinated by it, fascinated by statistics in it. It's just unfortunately not a sport for me. But that's one of those things. But I think the basketball could be fun.
Yeah, I have been playing the common game in the baseball, like you. Unlike you, I finished just outside the top 1,000 at the weekend. I don't know what the prize pool was. I didn't look because I don't expect any return from the baseball whatsoever. But I put my team in every week, and I collect my cards. Basketball, yeah. I think I will probably put together a limited side. I don't want to put like any massive sort of budget restrictions on my football operations as such, but I think we may open a basketball training centre at the Rubukio Dome. So yeah, do you know what? I'll probably give it a whirl because it's one of those things. I think the difference being I could watch the baseball and I could go and watch it and stick it on tonight and I have no idea what they're trying to achieve or how that game is played. And I'm not even 100% sure I've ever watched Field of Dreams in its absolute fullness. So I think I'm probably looking at the basketball, and I noticed that it's on Sky Sports quite a lot. There seems to be quite a bit of coverage on it, so it could be something that I might have a look at it, and I might just touch on it.
A wee dabble, Russ. But yeah, so I think I would probably have maybe a wee dabble as well. I did find out, I believe San Antonio do still have a team. I think about a month ago we spoke about that, and I said that was my favorite team to play as on NBA Live. But I do believe they still have a team. One of my regulars on my bus is a Texas girl, and she told me that they do still have a team. So whether they're good,
Brilliant.
bad, or indifferent, they were a fine team to play with. I think it was David Robinson, I believe, was the center or was my main man.
I recognise that name. San Antonio for me is a place in Ibiza that I DJed in the Highlander Bar back in 1997, and
Well,
then at
there
the
you
Ma
go.
and then at the Manu Mission Tree Hut in 1999, many moons ago. That's San Antonio for me, not a
Well,
basketball team. However, anyway, we diverse, and it's probably
absolutely.
time to look at back to the football.
Yeah, let's go back to the football element. And yeah, it was something that I had posted up during the course of the week, Russ, and I think you touched on it at the end of the podcast last week about, some trading that we've both been doing recently. And I feel that it's probably a good time to kind of touch on it because I've had a fair bit of success recently with a lot of trading that I've done. And I just thought it might be worth kind of sharing some insight to what I've been doing, how I've been doing it, and how I've managed to add, the better part of an ETH to my gallery value if you go by Sraer Data over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks. And obviously, we know, I know fine well. And the listeners probably won't know quite so much, but obviously you've been doing a fair bit yourself in terms of, because we have talked about obviously our own little journeys and the things we had been doing. And I just think it's, I do get messages saying, what are you guys up to now? Because you haven't mentioned it the last couple of weeks and things. So it was just something I thought we could probably touch on there.
Yeah, I think the trading and the planning is, if you're not thinking about trading and planning at all times in the game, then you're as well putting it down. You've got to be looking to, I think for me, buying, say you've got 15 cards, I just can't see how you can sit on that same 15 cards for 6, 7 months unless you've bought at the very, very top end of the game. So I think for most people that listen and most people that contact us both on social media and other influencers and stuff to get just advice, I would say that you're currently evolving. You're always evolving. You're always looking to improve. You've got to react. The in Sraer, you've got to react to player form. So a player basically gets injured, gets suspended for many, many games, or just basically drops form. You've got to change them. So a prime example of that for example, would be MLS, Lucas Cavallini, the Canadian international, plays for it was at Vancouver, and he got suspended for 4 games. But up until that, he was pulling like 60, 70 points every week. But then if you've got him in your gallery and he's your only striker, you have to change if you want to put a team out. So I think most managers in the game, I would say, are a mixture of proactive and reactive. Proactive when we're trying to be smart and get the next big thing in the young players, etc., or somebody that's coming back from injury, but also reactive when we've then got to, oh God, he's just been suspended. I need to go out and buy a striker. So, I suppose maybe what we should look at is what do we look for when we're trading, when we're trying to increase our galleries and things? So I don't know if you want to kind of start and just talk through what you've been trying to do in the last 3-4 weeks with your gallery and even the turnover, because it's obviously, it's a wee bit of a standing joke that, you know, you buy somebody on a Monday and you're lucky to see the Friday.
Yeah, and that's true. And I've went fully back to basics, and that's what I actually put on the bullet note, bullet point on the, you know, on the for the podcast format, was back to basics trading. I kind of lost sight when I was sitting with all those limited cards and limited teams, Russ. I was kind of like, you know, these are the cards I want to have in there, and it left me very little scope to actually trade with. You know, I was kind of stuck with only so many rares and all these limited. So we obviously talked about the limiteds extensively, and it wasn't panning out how we'd wanted it to. So I'd sold up and I went fully back into the rares. What I obviously did was, and I've kind of harped on about it on the podcast, but I looked ahead to when the World Cup was going to be, what leagues are going to be going. We talked about that on the podcast, what the breaks are for them. And there was a reason we did that. And it was to highlight to guys, you know, if you are looking ahead, this is where you maybe want to look at. So I went with the second divisions, primarily Spain, because I don't like spreading myself too thin. I'd rather have maybe just one or two leagues I'm playing in rather than five or six, because it's a lot harder, you know, it's a lot harder to keep track of it, and it's easier to miss DNPs. It's easier to miss things, you know, that you wouldn't have otherwise missed. So I tried to be an early adopter, shall we say, Russ, of the second division. And obviously when that launched last weekend, I was able to make substantial amount of sales over the last 7 days. Now, you're talking anything from, I've got it on my screen here just now. I've obviously picked up some players that I was putting into All-Star. But primarily I was picking up boys, and I was looking at reward winners who'd got somebody, and they were obviously just looking for quick ETH. And I managed to pick up one guy called Boyomo. He's a young centre-back for Albacete. Paid 0.09, and he sold yesterday morning, which was Tuesday morning, right before the deadline, for 0.13. So it was almost a 50% return on him in a couple of days, and I hadn't even played him. So just going with that joke, you know, I'm buying a player on that was bought on Saturday, and he was gone by Tuesday morning. And it's because, like, I'm trying to find, you know, under 23s, like you've harped on about under 23s for the longest possible time, in that, you know, they hold their value, and then when they go on a good run, Russ, the prices start rocketing up. So
yeah.
That boy Omo, he was sitting, I think it was about a 51 or 52 average, and sure enough, he sold very quickly, and that was what I was hoping for, but it worked out quicker than I was hoping for, because it left me a wee bit short for the current game week. But yeah, that's what I've been primarily doing. I was trying to plan ahead. I've even the last couple of days just been looking at, right, okay, let's look at when the World Cup's on. What under 23s are going to be available? Well, there's only going to be under 23s in the second division in Spain, the second tier in Italy, and then whoever's fortunate enough to go to the World Cup. And if they're going to the World Cup as an under 23, I'd imagine they're probably premium ones anyway. You know, you're probably, I don't know, I can't pick any names off the top of my head other than say, like, Mbappe goes to the World Cup. His price tag's enormous, you know? So trying to find players that I can maybe store away in the gallery now, and I've got about five or six under 23 sitting there now that I fully intend on turning over. And whether they're even still there on Friday, Russ, as you've just mentioned, I don't know. But I've picked up three last night, and I've already got a couple other ones sitting there. So it's been a lot of planning like that, and not having any attachment to the players. But the other thing that I have been doing, Russ, and it was something I did at the start of the game when I was trading, you know, trying to build my gallery. And I kind of got away from it for a wee while, because I kind of thought, and it was something you'd said to me as well, and I think it does appear that way. I had all my cards listed quite often back when I first started and was trying to build the gallery. And it was one of the things that crossed both our minds is, you know, does it look desperate that you've got your whole gallery listed? Because then boys might just think, oh, I can come in with a cheeky offer on it or what have you. But what I found this time around is having everything listed all the time, whether it be at or around the bottom or maybe slightly higher just because of percentages or whatever, I'm getting offers, you know, probably about a dozen a day. And there's ones that are coming in. I mean, obviously, I spoke to you on Saturday about one that came in, and it was an enormous offer for a card that I paid 80-odd quid for, and it was 320 quid. And, you know, it was, I had to swither on it, whether I was going to accept it or not, and I did. And ultimately, I bought a cheaper version of the same card back into the gallery. But it still made me a profit, and it's effectively made my card free from what I almost paid for it to begin with. So it's been a case of, you know, trying to find players that I could just bang straight onto the transfer list, put them up at, you know, maybe a 0.03 or a 0.04 premium to what I've bought them for. And you can still do that at the bottom end as well, you know, finding the ones at 0.03 and listing them for 0.035 or 0.04 and, you know, and trying to build on those ones. So I've primarily been looking at those two leagues, Spain and Italy, trying to find where I see, right, okay, that looks like a player that could come in, you know, is already in for them and maybe going to continue if it's an under 23, or, you know, doing my searches the same way that you do, Russ, and trying to find the ones that are maybe coming back from injury or that kind of thing. And you highlighted one to me, and it was a great shout, was Albert Gudmundsson. And it looked as though, you know, he had two DNPs, but it was because he'd had a red card. He missed two games, you know, and even in the red card game, he still scored 40 points. So it was a very solid card there. So yeah, it's definitely made a difference. My gallery is up to 3.1 going by Sarere Data valuations, which we both know is slightly flawed. I mean, there's cards that I've bought in the last 24 hours. I paid 0.13 for one of the cards, and it's still showing as 0.1 as the price on there because it doesn't include, you know, where I've privately offered for a card. It only counts it if it's been an auction or if it's been one that's just been bought outright. So it's a very flawed system, and I get why they've done it, because obviously there's people trying to manipulate the market and things like that, but by the same token, it's very misleading, and you can obviously just go on your own gallery and find, you know, your prices for each player individually by going and looking at the market, because ultimately, if somebody, you know, if Sarere Data says the value of the card's 0.2, but the cheapest on the market's 0.3, guess what? It's 0.3 is the price on the market. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you can try and negotiate, but there ain't nobody selling it at that price, then that's, you're not going to get it. It's as simple as that. Yeah. So yeah, that's been, I've been at with mine, Russ, but what sort of things have you been looking at recently? I know you're a big fan of Pavel Trader. That's one of your...
Well, just before I do, I think it's quite good, because one of the things that's kind of developed from this, and I know we've been doing a lot of work on sort of moving our galleries on and things, and anybody that's been listening for the last 7-8 weeks knows that. But this is quite good, because we've now got a journey where you've openly said to me, if you win a card, that's an absolute bonus, but you're not chasing cards anymore for your to boost basically your overall gallery value. And it's now good, because I am chasing cards with the movements that I've done, and I still will trade, but you've now become back full circle. You're back to being full-time trader.
Basically, I think my main aim is back to winning the thresholds every week and trying to push on just basically the gallery value, because if I've built it up that much over the last little while, that if I did sell one of the players and take the money out, I'm just back to where I was 2-3 weeks ago. I'm not setting my gallery back months or even a year. Do you know what I mean? I'm literally setting it back a couple of weeks, and I would just do the whole process again. You know, so yeah, absolutely.
And I wouldn't think that there's a single person that will listen to this podcast that doesn't want to increase their gallery value. So you've got two kind of different routes here now, because obviously our galleries are different, and that's based on slightly different levels of investment, i.e. 300 against 2,000, which, you know, again, and both in the grand scheme of things are very modest. But I've now got the route where I am buying players to really strengthen. And as you know, I went from 150 to 120 to 90, and I think last week I was sitting with about 80 cards, and today I'm sitting with 62 rare, which is my I think it's my lowest in definitely this year. But what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to genuinely up the quality to take away the probability of me not winning, you know, tier threes, because I just want to be in a position where I am winning cards. I've got probably 50 to 60% of the players that generally would be required to win cards, and I've had a few gaps. So this week I've been really, really busy. And my objective was to reduce my number of overall cards, to get rid of the cards that I've been waiting on coming good. You know, he's the next big thing, but it's not Brock Lesnar type scenario, you know. Yeah, been wanting to obviously up the quality overall. What I have decided is I'm going to take less speculative punts. I still will take some, certainly on under-23s, but pretty much only on under-23s or a player that's coming back from injury. So I didn't have any spare balance at the time when obviously I tipped you on and mentioned Gudmundsson. And I think already he's up like 1.5 times what you bought him for, maybe double.
He's gone up a fair chunk. It's probably, yeah. I also got the forward version of the card as opposed to the midfield, just because it actually scores better. It scores about 3 points better, but it was a forward that I was needing. But what I actually upgraded from, Russ, and it's absolutely no disrespect to one of our fond listeners, Nicky Clark, actually left my gallery, and I brought Gudmundsson in, and it's primarily because he's going to be playing over the winter, but also I know with his reputation, because he's one of the cards that's been in the game for a while. It was AZ he was at, and now he went to Genoa. So it's a big team in Italy. You know, it's probably one of the bigger teams in Serie B in terms of name recognition, I would say. But it's a card that scores greens. Do you know what I mean? If I want to put that into my second division team or my all-star team, it'll do a job in either of those. And I've made a wee change to what my lineup's going to be, but I suspect he's actually going to be in my all-star lineup this weekend. And I think, and that was because you tipped him off. And I to be honest, I hadn't, that was, that your tip off was the one that kind of tipped me to looking more at Serie B, because I hadn't. And I posted up today, obviously, today being Wednesday, that I was expecting our usual launch Wednesday. So I was a bit hesitant to pick up Serie B players at the moment, because I thought, but what if they'll drop the league and all of a sudden I lose all those 5%, you know, off of the 21 season cards. So I was a bit like, right, I don't really want to do that. But then there's a lot of comments came on the post today saying that basically the Serie B's come out and said they don't have the license for it, so it doesn't look imminent. Which is quite surprising, given the fact they launched the second division league. However, it means that there's only a limited pool from that Serie B now. And now I know that. I know that the prices are going to drive up in the next 2-3 weeks. So I've went out and I've picked up a couple of boys. Simple.
Yeah. And I think, do you know what, this? It's a really crucial time, because there's so many of the leagues that are ending or just ended. So again, from a strategy perspective, so someone like me, I had my two stacks. I had my Philadelphia stack, which I was rocked by my DNP Cassio injury of Corinthians, who got injured, I think, in the warm-up, which left me with four players. Now, I got four players, that three of them scored fantastically at the weekend, and I had one, I think it was like 45 or 50 points. But the four scores wasn't enough to get a card, and the DNP rocked me, even though, you know, you look and I've got Elliott and Glesnes in there that, you know, scored really well. I had my stack there, and I had my FCC on stack as well, which just didn't perform at all, albeit Stojakovic, the under-23 forward, was fantastic. However, I also heard through a friend that he was being linked with a move to the Bundesliga, and I'm looking going, well, that's a bit of a step up in class. Will he score the same level of points? No, he won't. So, you know, January's just around the corners for the window. You know, we're halfway through October already. November and December will creep up on us. The World Cup will pass, and before we know it, you're sitting with it in your gallery. You haven't moved it on, and it's lost, I don't know, 0.1, 0.15 in value, because it's now been heavily linked with moves. So what I've tried to be is I've tried to be really, really proactive. And I'm also mindful that every time I'm looking at just the general sort of marketplace, so not even perhaps looking at any of the sort of the trading houses, you know, your Roddy Boss or Pavels or any of these guys. But when I'm just going into manager sales, you're also finding now, just as obviously they're still coming with their 5-match average, but some of the MLS cards and the Japanese cards are immediately coming up as the best value in the search, because they've got some huge numbers. And what you're finding, there's a lot of guys obviously selling off so that they can then play European, World Cup, whatever it is, they're doing their planning. But I'm now looking and thinking, this is the time that theoretically I should be actually looking to buy in to some of these, even whether I use them or not, but for resale. Now, last year, I remember seeing guys like MLS cards. And the two or three that come to mind were Eloy Room, Bill Hamid, who was in the Gopher DC at the time, and Andre Blake. And I toyed with the idea of buying Andre Blake Rare, which was going to be an astronomical purchase for me. But he was selling for round about £600, and Bill Hamid and Eloy Room were selling for about £300. Now, at peak MLS, you're selling these guys for £800-£900 if you wish, and certainly you're going to sell them if you hold maybe 5-6 MLS keepers. So it's all about timing, and we've mentioned cycles so many times on the pod, but it's getting yourself into a position where you can maneuver in the market. And what I wanted to do this week was, okay, Sion and Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I was just unlucky. The 3 weeks that I had the stack, I was hit with two really weird DNPs. And the other week, they got the Heiden from Charlotte 4-0. Sion just hasn't worked out. And I very quickly went off the idea, even though, as I say, the Super Under 23 forward was there. I signed, obviously, Ville and Cyprian, who should, in theory, still do well in that league, but his injuries were, he played a game and then he's back to being a DNP, and you just can't roll with that. You just can't have DNPs or orange scores to win prizes in this game anymore. And the more people that play, the higher the scoreline gets, as we know. So, yeah, so those guys in the main, Glesnes is sold, Elliot's sold. I've sold, I think, Stojakovic. Sold him. Thankfully, I made profit on all three of those cards. It wasn't huge money, but I would say probably in total, probably about £250 profit over the three of them. This week, I've also decided to strengthen in overall quality and based on form of certain players. So I've been back and forward to Pavel a couple of times. I think he's had a couple of galleries that he's managed to bought out. So some of the players that I've got rid of as well, they haven't been doing anything in my gallery as such. So there was a couple from last year that were in the Austrian League that were a little bit cheaper. I had Nick Marsman that lost the shirt in the Inter-Miami goal to Drake Callender, so he's left, albeit not at the value that I wanted, and I've taken a hit on him. Josef Jezici, again, a bit too injury-prone for my liking, but what I have brought in, I've brought in Tony Watt Super Rare, the Giovanni Simone Rare, and I've signed Milan Van Ewijk, who's a big favourite of mine, and Borja Iglesias. So I'd like to think that the cards that I've brought in help me in my overall quest, which is to reduce my gallery size, improve the quality, and to start winning regularly again. And I keep going through little cycles. I think you've probably noticed it as well, that I have cycles of Russ is winning a card every week for about 3-4 weeks, and then Russ goes 4 or 5 weeks without winning anything. Not even the ETH. So I need to come away with that, and I need to really reduce my DNP risk with, you buy guys like Cabela and Jezici and stuff because they're absolutely genius sometimes, but if they've got injury problems, and every so often, you're getting a 90-plus score from him, but he's sitting in your training because you weren't expecting him to play. And then the next week, you think, right, I'll put him back in the team. It's a DNP or a 26 because he's off the bench. It's soul-destroying.
Yeah, it is. And do you know what? I feel like, we've obviously had extensive chats over the last few weeks because even the ETH, the lower ETH, has evaded you on a couple of weeks. No prizes and what have you. And I've had the messages coming through and they're, full of vitriol towards everything. And, I did say, back to basics. And it's kind of been the theme for me. And I think it's coming back to being the theme for you, is getting back to basics, not only in trading, but also playing what you know. And I've said it on the podcast when the Scottish League's launched, that you're not going to find anybody who knows more in terms of statistic, fact-based information, as opposed to people's opinion, than you. And obviously, I know we spoke about it when the championship cards dropped last week. The exact same thing I said to you, because of your fantasy football league that you've been running for 30 years. You'd be hard pushed. I have to research every league that I want to play. Yeah. I feel like I've got a grip on a lot of the players now in La Liga 2, but that's only because I've spent, I've spent way more time on that than I have in Scottish football in the last 2 weeks. But that's because I'm wanting to improve my gallery. I want to start winning cards in the second division one. But if I don't, I'm making enough profit off those sales to justify that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You know, like the sale on Tuesday morning, I had a sale at 10.57 for one defender who was in my All-Star lineup. I had to quickly switch things around and put a team into there. And then at 10.59 and 21 seconds, Salva Sevilla, who was my captain in my second division team, sold. And it was, for between the two of them, it was £84 was the profit between the two. So if in effect, it covered a higher threshold and probably winning a low tier three. That's probably what it covered. In hindsight, you know, looking at it now, and I could have been, I'd be sitting top of the second division as it stands tonight, had I indeed kept Salva Sevilla and he played. But you know what? It is what it is. It's a learning curve. But as long as I'm still making money off of it each week, happy days. And that's going to continue to be the theme. And it's, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday the 12th of October. And we're realistically looking at about, 10 weeks to Christmas, Russ? I'm operating on, you know, a maternity wage for the missus. And, you know, obviously a full wage for myself. But that doesn't give a lot of scope for, you know, save, you know, for Christmas money and things like that. So, again, for the second year in a row, Sarah's going to pay for my Christmas, you know, for people's presents and things like that. So it's going to be through this method. If I'd have still been sat with 80 or 90 limited cards, I wouldn't be in this position. And, you know, that's not conjecture or anything. It's just pure fact. I would not be sat with an extra one ETH on my gallery value. Because we know what was happening with the limited cards, Russ. They were tanking. Mm-hmm. They were tanking. But
no,
it's
a great way to play for getting to learn the game and stuff and things. But for me, and as I say, I actually kind of went against my own grain for a bit there in the summer. I said from day one that I just thought that it just wasn't something that I'd be looking to make money via the limited route.
Yeah, I think it was more fun for us. But that's at a different level, though, because we obviously came in when there was only rares. We've said that before. We came in when there was only... Well, there wasn't only rares. There was your super rares and uniques. But it's not a market we were even considering at that point. But, you know, we had to come in at the rare level. So we'd spent, I don't know, 7-8 months before the limited cards came in, Russ, where we were basically, you know, well-entrenched into the rare market. So you were right. It probably would have been looking at a step back. Now, there have been a lot of people who'd sold up and went, you know, gung-ho into that. And that's where, you know, the Ajax stacks and, you know, your Bayern Munich of the world, you know, big teams, you know, where you're picking up big players that are going to win big scores every week. That's just going to happen. But we've obviously stuck to our route. And it was fine over the summer. Like I say, I sat with just my European cards for 2 months. And it was fun to sit and have those little teams and try and find the specialist. I still kind of feel like I might play specialist again because of the rare prizes. But to be honest, my focus has solely been on trying to boost the gallery. And it has been through this, you know, planning ahead, as you say, you know, looking ahead, seeing what's up. And, you know, if you're wise and you're looking to build your gallery, maybe in, say, like, I don't know, mid to late January, early February, you might start looking at, you know, some of the Russia cards, because they'll have been inactive for 2 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll be back in March. So you might want to start, you know, buying them when they're at the bottom. Because again, same as the other leagues, boys are going to sell these cards to buy other cards. You know, that's how liquidity works for a lot of people. It's not a case of just endlessly pumping money in to go and buy other cards. You have to stick with what you've got. So, yeah, I think that hopefully gives people an insight as to what we've been doing. There was a comment I had on Facebook today talking about Pavel Trader. Obviously, you do trade with him a fair bit, Russ. The main things people were asking was around, you know, Pavel's expectations for trades. And obviously, I've traded with him a fair bit in the earlier days. I haven't done it so much recently because the market that I'm trying to play in, everybody's trying to get those cards. So they're not, you know, 10 a penny in his gallery. But what sort of things, you know, when you're sending offers to Pavel, what I know for me, I know what the guidelines are for what he looks for, but do you want to kind of just explain it to any new listeners or even existing listeners who've just never done it?
There's for me, there's the three sort of main trading houses that I've had trading with. So it's not exclusively just Pavel Trader, but Pavel Trader, Roddy Boss, and Kitozi are the three that I think openly publicise in like Discord and stuff and things like that, that they're open to buying galleries, open to buying, you know, bulk players, and they're also open to trading. So generally, it's, I suppose, that, you know, the expectancy is if you are just wanting to sell cards, I think it's round about 75 to 80% of Surreyor data minimum value. So that's basically, they'll look at Surreyor data, they'll see what the last one sold for publicly, like Chris said earlier, on an auction or, you know, on a listing. And quite simply, they'll give you about 80% of the value of that, because ultimately they need to sell it for a profit. They're not going to basically buy a card off you for, say, 0.1 or 0.5 and then try and sell it for 0.1 or 0.5. What would be the point? So they try and make the profit via, obviously, buying in bulk, buying people out that are perhaps leaving the game or temporarily having a, you know, having a break. But they'll also basically take on trades from you, from the active players. So what I generally try and do is I will look at the valuation roughly on Surreyor data. I'll also look at the active market on just Surreyor itself, and I will look and see what the last one sold for on Surreyor that's visible. So not necessarily the last one that's on Surreyor data. It'll be the last one that's visible on page one of that player. And then I'll also look at the, you know, the basic, the price that the lowest one's listed. I'll generally edge towards the lower of the two prices, unfortunately. And I'll, if I'm sending just players, then I'll probably send player value of about 120, sometimes even 125% if it's somebody I really, really want. Bear in mind, if it's a really, really good player that's got green scores, you're not the only one looking at it, probably.
Yeah.
And I found that out on many occasions, much to my detriment, that I've just missed out on cards. So there was today, for example, I've been after Borja Iglesias at Real Betis. I've genuinely been after him since probably about August. I stopped my pursuit of him when Juanmi got injured, and obviously shelved the idea of the Real Betis full stack. However, I've still been after Iglesias. You know, he'll be probably in that Spain World Cup squad. He takes the penalties at Betis. He's pretty good. He's not quite in the same run of form just right now, but you know what? It's like buying at base. So up until probably the end of August, middle of September, he was coming in at anything between 0.35 and 0.5. And today, Pavel had him listed at 0.249, I think it was, or 0.247. And I basically put a trade deal, which included a goalkeeper that had lost his shirt that was still holding relatively decent value, but I had probably lost about 30% of the price I paid for him. And I basically put him in and 20% on top, which was the ETH balance, to get myself a deal. A couple of things that I would say these guys don't like. If you're going to basically send, if you're, you know, after a player that's, say, 0.1 value, so 0.100, if you send basically a couple of players that are worth 0.88 or something like that, 0.088, he's not going to accept it. You're just wasting your time. And the other thing, if you send like what I would class as like low ball, really cheeky offers, there's a very good chance he'll block you. Now, at the end of the day, it's not worth it because you will need to shop at these guys at some point when players get injured or you're needing to, you know, unless you've got an endless sort of bank card attached to the account or something and you're happy to put money in at all times. But for those guys that have basically put their investment in and then you just basically want to work with what you have, you know, you've got to use these guys every so often when players go out of form and stuff. So I'm always happy to use them if I think it's genuinely feeling that the scores in the gallery are going to improve. And I've maybe tried to sell the player a few times as well. So maybe, you know, it's maybe went round the market five or six times on the sort of 48-hour cycle and it's just not selling. I'll decide. I'll say, right, okay, put in some ETH and I'll put a couple of the players or one player. Bear in mind, you can have, like, today's a prime example of me just basically biting the bullet. and I had five or six players. They're not bad players, and some of them will increase heavily in value. Like I would expect Nick Marsman to probably leave the MLS and, you know, return either to the Eredivisie or go somewhere else in Europe and become a starting keeper again. So I'm probably going to find him in 6 months' time selling for four or five times what I've basically valued him today in a trade.
Yeah.
But I've also got in my gallery right now, you know, one of the best strikers in La Liga has just ended in the gallery today. Now I know that he'll play, and I know that basically he'll you know, perform on a relatively sort of high level, and that'll help me now, as opposed to Nick Marsman would help me from the minimum next February, unless he moves in the, you know, in the transfer window. So obviously there was quite a few players left my gallery, the, you know, the Philadelphia guys. I'm looking and going, right, they've got a couple of games left in the playoffs, and then they're redundant to February. And I just looked and I thought, between the two of them, and Julian Carranza, who he hasn't moved yet, but I've got him listed, I think probably lowest on the market, I'm not desperate to sell him, so I won't be taking any ridiculous offers, but I'm still happy enough to free up that liquidity. And it's probably the difference between Gleznas, Elliot, and Carranza. You're probably talking about 0.8, so just underneath of money that I can ultimately put into, well, you know, I know that we spoke about it earlier, but not really mentioned on the pod. But you know, Premiership, Scottish Premiership players, top end, very top end, and I know we're going to touch on that just to kind of round up the pod. Belgium, you know, I've always liked playing with Jupiler sort of players, the Eredivisie in Turkey. And the one thing that I'm hoping to build on, but I've not sort of cemented my plans yet, would be a second tier team made up of the English Championship as well. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Yeah, do you know what? It's been really interesting to see over the last, you know, especially the last few days, because I know where you were at head-wise on Saturday. So to see regrouping and actually getting back to basics, yeah, happy days, happy days. And yeah, I think Pavel's there, and like something Russ just touched on there, you know, yeah, you can hang on to that player for another 6 months and maybe he'll go, you know, up threefold. Or you could sell them now and buy a player that's going to help you win cards, help you win the ETH. You know, he'll increase in value, and you could sell him on, and then you could do the same cycle over and over. And you'll probably 99% of the time, for us certainly, you'll be better off than what you would have been if you'd held on to him for that 3, 4 months or even 6 months. So yeah, I think you're right, Russ. Just getting rid of the dead wood sometimes is what you need to do, regardless how painful it might be. So. Speaking of getting back to basics, Russ, we were going to have a Scottish segment on the podcast tonight, and you came up with the idea of let's take three teams each week over the next few weeks, and we'll have a wee mini review of them, and you know, kind of just see where we're at, who's been their key performers, what sort of players, you know, prices on the market, that sort of thing, and you've obviously done your charts that you, I remember you actually starting these charts back during the first wave of the pandemic.
That's right.
I remember my Facebook page being swamped with these charts, and you did them on a variety of different things, but they were fun to watch. You know, if you haven't looked at them, at Scotland Surreyor, you'll find them all on there, and it's the charts where the bars keep moving up as far as the, you know, the points are scored. I think you've done top goal scorers for all time between the Dundee teams, and you did loads of different ones, and it was really interesting to see. But yeah, you posted those up over the last few days because I know you've had a wee bit of extra time.
Yeah,
And
off on holiday.
yes, a well-earned holiday, some would say. Some would say not so well-earned, but still a holiday. So
And so you
happy days.
ask.
I had my long weekend and it was fantastic. Fully recharged the batteries and had good family time as well. Eh? So yeah, so we'll start off. So we're going to look at Aberdeen, Celtic and Dundee United tonight, Russ.
Yeah, I posted all three. They're all on Twitter. So, like Chris says, it's the rolling progression sort of bar charts. They're based on the game weeks. So, just for anybody that's uncertain of how it works, it's the total accumulation of Opta points by the players for each of the clubs. So, to think about this just strategically, you're looking at, you know, guys that have got huge points totals. These are guys that are either playing every game and scoring average points, or, you know, they're playing occasionally sometimes, but they're scoring absolutely monster points. So either way, most of the guys that are at the very top end should be good cards in theory for Soraya. What you've got to watch out for, some of the guys that are on the sort of the lower end, they've either maybe been injured or they're substitutes, etc. But ultimately, the charts include all the players. You may see some names that you look and go missing. It's quite simply because they haven't accumulated enough total points to make the. It's basically the best 11s. And I've done all the clubs, but I'm publishing them basically in line with the podcast so that it kind of works hand in hand. So it's Aberdeen, Celtic and Dundee United that have been posted on Twitter. And yeah, we basically just, you know, what I think we probably do, Chris, is you could probably just, rather than us both going over it, just pick out a few of the sort of top performers from each of the clubs. Then we'll maybe discuss a little bit about the clubs, how we think all three clubs are doing this season. Yep. I've got a wee bit historical from last year, and then I was thinking we could probably finish. I've got each of the clubs' ins and outs, and we could basically, I'll run through them and you can just answer if you think the players have maybe been missed, and then the players that have come in, you can maybe just say if you think they've been a hit or not. How about that?
Sounds like a plan, sir. Sounds like a plan. So let's rattle through these. So for Aberdeen, we'll go alphabetical, obviously.
Aberdeen, all of Aberdeen.
All of Aberdeen. So Weaselmont, this is... the area you'll already know, but we'll go over it for everybody else. From their list, Russ, obviously there was a few cards that have been fairly consistent right from the start of the season. So the first one on the list, and I believe he was the top overall scorer, was Anthony Stewart. Obviously came in the close season from Wickham, I want to say it was.
He came from Wickham. He was Wickham.
He
was so very now, shortly missed, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been very good for Aberdeen. Now, obviously, he's their centre-back. There is only one rare card of him in the game because they've dropped the new cards, but they've then slipped them all into alphabetical order. So he's only got one card, which is a bit disappointing, really, to be honest, because it sold for 0.113, Russ. I think that's tremendous value for his overall score. The next one I've got, again, it's another new signing. Actually, three of these guys are new signings. Iber Ramdani, the central defensive midfielder. Again, there's only one card of him, but he sold for 0.08, which again, I think feels like really good value. You're talking not even 100 quid on the current market price. I believe both those cards are listed for a multiple of what they've been bought for, as is the way. But one that's a bargain, Russ, and we mentioned him on the podcast last week, Johnny Hayes, still having... really good scores coming in. His advance in age obviously reflects in his price, but he's coming in for under 0.05. And I just think that's tremendous value. I think he's still going to be a key player in that Aberdeen team for the rest of the season. Yeah. Injuries, aside, I can't see him not being in the team. I think the winter break will do players like him, age-wise, a world of good because you're going to get a good few weeks worth of rest and recuperation mid-season, which we don't normally have up here. And then another one, Bojan Majovski. We both commented on, we wondered how much he'd be going for. And it seems to be about 0.24, which doesn't seem like a bad price for a guy that has knocked in a fair few goals. Granted, a few of them have been penalties, but he has been pretty solid for them so far. So that was the few that I picked out. The other one I picked out was Leighton Clarkson, who'd came in on loan and has been playing really well, but then he got injured. But unfortunately, he doesn't have a card in the game. One of these ones are probably too late in signing, but doesn't have a card. But if he does get one of, like they did last year for some of the leagues where it was a new faces promotion, they did kind of the turn of the year. That might be one. If he does appear with a card, that might be worth having a look at. But price wise, might be expensive, Russ.
New faces with Marty Kane for our older listeners. Sign up where Reggio Pasquale made his debut. Something like that. Look at you pretending you're no old, Christ almighty. Just a quick mention. Just were you surprised that Vicente Bessajoun was higher than Bojan Miovski on the points?
Listening to Open All Mics every Saturday and hearing him being involved in an awful lot, I wasn't surprised at all, no. I didn't include him in it for a specific reason that I can't remember now. I was trying to get the baby to sleep at the time. I think I left him out so I can include Leighton Clarkson because he didn't have cards. As a one to watch, if they do get cards. But a lot of things have gone through him and his price is quite high and he's an under 23 still, isn't he?
He's an under 23 till 2025, which is really appealing. And I'll be honest, I actually looked to buy one myself. I had a look earlier on and I sent a couple of offers. about 10% less. Both rejected, but yeah, he's the Aberdeen player that I'm looking and going, yeah, do you know what, I would quite happily add him for the 23 options. And obviously it's Challenger and Global as well, so yeah, that's quite good.
Do you know what, in fairness,
any other Aberdeen observations before I go into a little bit more on Aberdeen?
The one observation that I should probably mention, Russ, is that I must have misread what his price was on the market. Right. It's not as expensive as I thought. 0.23 does not seem like a bad price for an under 23 forward that's knocking in a last 5 of 59. That's actually a really, really good price.
Yeah, that's why I bid for him.
Yes. Well, yeah. You would do. My other observations I put down for Aberdeen, obviously they're mid-table, they're sitting sixth at the moment. But I put a high point of their season was probably the 5-0 win at home against Livingston. They also had a 4-1 against St Mirren, but I think the 5-0 against Livingston was probably one of those that kind of set them up a wee bit. But then obviously the low point I would suggest would be last Saturday against Dundee United, where they lost 4-0 at Tannadice to a team that hadn't won all season. So that was probably be a low point for them, I would suggest.
Didn't see the result coming as a United fan. Obviously was delighted to see that result, and obviously the rivalry between United and Aberdeen. I toyed with going to the game. I had options to go to the game and things, and I ended up being just me and the kids. The wife was out, so I thought, no, do you know what? I'll stay in with the kids. Didn't go to the game, but I did watch it on Dundee United TV, and wow, you know, just. I didn't expect that result to come. Delighted that it did. But yeah, like you say, they were the sixth in the league at the moment, which just in comparison to finishing 10th last season, and I know that, like, I did a review at Aberdeen and I wasn't sure if all the players were going to gel when I did my review back at the very start of August. I have to say, you know, I've been impressed with Aberdeen in the main. I know they still don't travel well, but up at Pittodrie, they're a good side. They score a lot of goals at home. I think they're well on course to possibly almost double the amount of goals that they scored last season. They were 41-4 and 46 against. They finished on 41 points last season, which isn't an awful lot, but bear in mind Ross County finished sixth in this top split on the same points total. So the way that Scottish football obviously works for MD that's not from Scotland, obviously the league splits and then the bottom six play each other and the top six play each other. So it allows the stronger teams in the bottom six to accumulate more points and generally finish on more points than the weaker teams in the top six. But I've got a list of players, ins and outs. So I'll go through the outs and you just basically give me no point in us both answering, but you can just let me know if you think they've been missed or not. So Calvin Ramsey?
I would say miss.
Okay. £4 million, obviously, initial fee, I think it was.
I mean, that's the thing. If you take the price tag into it, then no, because they managed to reinvest that money. But just as a player, they've had a fair bit of, you know, injuries, especially to the wing-backs or to full-backs. So I would say miss on that basis.
Yeah, he is. I think it's fair. He is a better player overall, I would say, than the young lad Richardson that signed to replace him. But yeah, Lewis Ferguson obviously left for Bologna for about £3 million roughly in the midfield. Miss or not?
I am going to controversially probably say not.
Fair enough. Declan Gallagher left on a free for St Mirren. Not, okay. Ojo, the midfielder, Belgian midfielder. Not, okay. Gary Woods, the subkeeper?
No.
No, so another departure. He has a card. Most of these have all got cards in the game, hence reason. Mickey Devlin, who ended up at Fleetwood with Scott Brown, I believe.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, no, not at all. Kind of peripheral players, though.
Andy Considine, I've just tried to pick just the first team squad. Andy Considine?
Yeah, again, no. No, I think Liam Scales and Anthony Stewart have done a fantastic job, to be honest, so...
And the last two you've got here, Dylan McGeoch, David Bates and Connor McLennan. Any misses there?
Not at all. I think they've strengthened on those players.
So the players that they've brought in, so again, just, you know, imagine your squad building, or you're considering them for your own squad, you know, the whatever you've got in your ETH wallet's kind of irrelevant. But Bojan Miovski, hit or a miss, consider buying him?
I'd consider buying him, yes.
Yeah. Ilber Ramadani, the midfielder.
Again, that price that he went for the first time round, 0.08, yes.
Yeah, okay. Jaden Richardson, the right back.
Not so much.
Okay. Leighton Clarkson?
If he gets a card, yes, I think he'd be silly money, I think, okay, to begin with.
Fair enough. The new keeper, Kettle Roos.
Do you know, it's one that when they came out, I was interested to see what sort of price he was going to go for. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to know with the first run cards. But yes, that would be one. I think the defensive team in front of him, you might want to just play him at home, though.
Yeah. What did he sell for? Do you know?
I can quickly tell you. It was, I don't think it was out of the realm, if memory serves. Let me just bring it back up here at Kettle Roos. 0.567, Russ. So that's what? You're talking less than 650? Less than £650?
Especially when you can pick up Joe Lewis for 0.1.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's a bit, you know, just so you've got the pair of them in there. Pounds wise, £670 is what it was at the time. Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually less now because that was about 4 days ago, and I think ETH had a wee bit of a wee drop again. So it's, yeah, I think you're probably talking about 650. But I think the second one will probably go a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Stewart, as I say, you mentioned that he's obviously, you know, up there in the charts. So
yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, okay. And the last three that I've got are Duke Lopez.
Have you seen enough of him? I don't know.
He's done that bad in the points well. Charts. I thought he'd done okay considering the game time he's had, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liam Scales is obviously on loan. He's
done fairly well again. Well, again, I'm saying fairly well based on the scores.
Yeah. And finally, I've got Hayden Coulson.
Again, I think the fullbacks have been a hit and miss, maybe, in my mm-hmm. opinion.
Okay, that's fine. Fair enough. Anything else on Aberdeen before we move on to Celtic?
No, maybe, in my opinion, I still think they're maybe slightly underperforming as a whole. I think they could be close at the Hibs. I know they've got a game in hand on them in third, and that's where I expect them to be, the third, fourth, fifth, you know, like Hearts, Aberdeen and Hibs were probably those teams I had in that mix. So, yeah, maybe slightly underperforming, but not by far, but they do need to start winning on the road.
Fair enough. Okay. So on we move to Celtic.
Okie dokie. So again, the prices attached to these are enormous and the rare prices. I'll run through the ones that I picked out. Obviously, the top performer on the chart was Jota, no surprise to anyone. Yeah. But you don't get much change out of 3 ETH for his rare card. The next one, surprisingly no cards, Russ, was Matt O'Reilly. I find it baffling that there's no cards for him because he's not a new summer signing, is he? He came in January, if memory serves.
He came from the English League One.
Yeah, so there's no reason for him not to. It's not like he was a last-minute signing.
No,
so,
no.
Again, one of these bizarre ones that's just missing. But he was one of the highest, and he's so consistent. I've left Callum McGregor out of my list because obviously he's one that's never present and what have you, but obviously he's got his injury now, so I've not seen any update as to how long he's going to be out for, but it didn't look good news.
No.
Then, obviously, Kyogo, one that obviously gets a lot of goals, but does get hit with rotation, which is one of the things that scares me with the price of some of the Celtic players is that rotation. But when he comes off the bench, he can easily get a goal. But he's coming in at just under half an ETH. You've then got Juranovic. He got his cards finally, and there's only 3 of him out on the market at the moment, Russ. Well, not even on the market, but just have been, you know, allocated or sold. 0.416, huge price, but a very solid performer. And then the other one I've got on the list, Greg Taylor, 0.206, which a lot lower, but they've also got the boy, is it Bernabe, that they brought in as another fullback
from
there.
From Argentina, yeah.
Yeah, so that could be a rotation risk as well. They've got such a big squad that rotation is a risk. You know, even boys like David Turnbull's been rotated and things like that. The core players that hadn't been rotated, like I say, Callum McGregor's one and he's now injured, so you know, you're kind of spending a lot of money to potentially have a 25 score coming off the bench or maybe even a DMP because they are trying to rotate players for Europe and things. Not that that's going particularly well, but, you know, it's one of these things, I think. So my other points I had on them, Russ, obviously top of the table. High point, I'll cover your ears. The 9-0 win at Tannadice, where they looked absolutely unstoppable and they would have given anybody that amount of goals. Obviously, they then followed up with a big win against Rangers. But I still think if you wallop somebody 9-0, that's probably got to be one of your high points of the season. And low point, of they've only had the one defeat, and it was their first defeat in 38. And that was St Mirren beating them 2-0 in Paisley a couple of weeks ago. And I think, you know, the way that St Mirren performed that day was possibly a bit of a blueprint as to how to handle Celtic, you know.
Definitely.
And it seemed to be reflected that way. But that's what I've got on Celtic, Russ.
Okay, yeah, just to kind of compliment that. Obviously, they were the champions last season. They only conceded 22 goals last season. And just looking sort of at Celtic as a whole, they lost 3 games and drew 6 over the whole course of it. You know, you're looking at Celtic there, and they're 2 points clear already. Fair to say that they're looking as though they're stronger than Rangers, and that's the reality.
I would say they're stronger than Rangers. Interestingly, as we started recording, I hadn't looked at the scores other than the Spanish scores, so I hadn't seen the full time score. I'd seen what it was at half time. I'd seen it was 1-1 at half time.
Yeah.
Have you seen what it finished?
I've seen that Rangers, I think that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will be at Pavel Trader tonight with his
quite
keeper
possibly
in his defence.
7-1.
At home.
So 6 second half goals. That is not good. Not good. That's probably not going to be tolerated at Ibrox, like you say. So, yeah, I think Celtic are the stronger team, stronger squad. Easily the strongest squad in Scotland, I think. As I said, the way that Postecoglou has brought it in, he's wanting multiple quality starters at each position. So that way you don't necessarily know who's going to be starting.
Do you know what the crazy thing is as well? And I don't want to go on Rangers too much here, obviously, but obviously with it being just tonight that it's happened, I was looking with a Rangers pod, a guy that helps, I think he does a bit of work on or helps the Rangers podcast and stuff. And he was pointing out to me that one of the sides that started in Europe, it was 8 of the same players that started for Rangers in 2019, 3 years ago. Of the same players. You know, it was the same, you know, Tav and Goldson and Arfield and, you know, just it was the same names, and they've just not invested in their squad. But obviously it's not about Rangers. We're still about Celtic. So to kind of go back and do what I've done with Aberdeen, and I know that the answer to these, I'm actually going to be surprised if you even know a few of these sort of first teamers. But Kerr McEnroy obviously has moved to Kilmarnock. And I think he's got a card in the game, but you would probably say he's not been missed by Celtic.
No, I wouldn't have said so. I think we could probably just say no to all these.
Well, there's probably only, you know, the two arguable ones, maybe Nir Beaton wasn't quite as influential in the last season there, was he?
No, I mean, if you were going back 3-4 seasons, he would have said huge miss. And same probably with Tom Rogic.
Tom Rogic,
And I mean, he's barely had a sniff at West Brom so far, so.
Yeah, we've got Christophe Julien, that's obviously now over. He left Celtic, didn't he? Where did he go? Was it Marseille? Or
I'm not sure. I know he went back to France, but I don't think you would say he's been missed.
Okay. The other couple I've got, the one that might come back. Is it Karamoko Dembele, the young lad? The boys that play FM will know him because he's one of the wonder kids, isn't he? And he has been for years. But Dembele obviously left them in the summer, so that might come back. But the other ones, obviously, just peripheral players that have ended up at other clubs. The only other one with a card that kind of keep an eye on is obviously Ewan Henderson at Hibs. Mm-hmm. He's had some game time. But then the players that have come in, obviously, they made permanent, so it's not fully new. But Jota, total hit. Agree?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's even arguable.
Yeah, CCV, so Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Again, you've seen when he's been missing, they miss hugely.
Definitely. Bernabia, or Bernabai, however you pronounce it.
Again, probably not played enough, or that I've seen anyway.
Yeah. Couple that have got cards in the game, Hak Sabanovic, who came from Rubin Kazan, and Abelgaard, so both midfielders.
The first lad, I won't butcher his name, he looked pretty decent in the couple of times that I've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's limited in terms of what I've really seen of them.
Yeah, I think he'll get quite a bit of game time, yeah. And I think you'll find, like, when I do these charts again, you know, after probably 20 games, I'll probably do them periodically at sort of, this is game 10, but I'll probably do them at 20 and then another one at the end of the season. But I think he'll be one that will continue to climb and climb. They made permanent Daizen Maeda, obviously went from loan to permanent. He's been quite a good, solid addition to their squad.
Yeah, I don't think he's, I don't know, he's not been as good as he was. Correct. Snatching at goals, or snatching at shots and things like that. But again, all strikers go through spells like that, or all forwards go through spells like that. So,
Moritz Gents is on loan, the big German. He's started life at Celtic and got quite a bit more game time, probably with Starfelt's injury. So, done quite decent.
Done pretty decent, I'd say.
And the last couple I've got here, Aaron Moy.
Not seen enough of him, but he's pretty decent against St Johnstone at the weekend.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously Benji Sigrist, which, much to probably the disappointment of many sort of card holders in Surrey, who just got this keeper that's sitting, not doing an awful lot at the moment, that's a very good keeper.
Like we say, we'll see. Joe has made a few of those mistakes that I predicted back on episode 17 when we previewed the season. Mm-hmm. He has made a few mistakes, so we will see how many of those he gets away with before Benji gets a game.
Finally, and we'll move on finally then, sharply and swiftly, because I'm aware of the time, to Dundee United.
To your world-famous Dundee United. So, the top player on the Dundee United chart would be the only one that would get into Aberdeen's top five when it came to overall scores. And I only point that out because, obviously, United have had a torrid start to the season. But that was Jamie McGrath, and he has no cards. He was a last-minute sign in, August. So he's been really good for United, I would have said. But he's the only one, if you look at the overall scores, he's the only one that got close to Aberdeen's top five. The rest were a fair bit behind that. So the highest of the rest was Liam Smith. Again, you get him for...
You're very consistent.
Yeah, under 0.05, which... Again, a fairly solid score. And now they have had a change of formation at United since the new manager took over. They went back to the back five or back three, whichever way people want to look at it, from the back four. And that seems to have served them well in the last couple of games. Tony Watt, which may be a surprise to some that I've got him on the list, but 0.115 was his price on the market just now. And you know what? If you look at it, he's played 93%, I think it was, of the last 40. So if you're looking for a card that can help you in the thresholds to get to that 45, 50 points, potentially...
He's going to be on the park.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've joked about the goal-scoring record and things like that, but at the end of the day, we've always said half the battle with getting to the thresholds is avoiding the DNP. Yeah. And I think if you're going to get those 40, 45 points... it's going to help you towards that. 0.1 is probably the market for getting a card like that, I would have said, Russ, especially a consistent one.
Well, I bought a blue today. So
You did. We've had a discussion offline about that. Dylan Levitt. It's a very surprising price to me, Russ. I almost sold his limited card for this price back in July, August, when he actually signed for United, but 0.15, he's available on the rare market, or his last sale was 0.15, which I think is an extraordinary price. When you see, the touches and the skills, they don't come through necessarily on, Opta scores. Mm-hmm. But his assist
player
again last night for Bahich was fantastic interplay and a lot of good things. When United played well last season, it went through Dylan Levitt. It looks like when United are starting to play well again this season, guess what? It's going through Dylan Levitt. So I think that's a card that will do you very well, and I think it will do any holders very well. Lastly, I've actually got six. I've got Ryan Edwards because of the chart position. He was the next one. It was 0.055. Fairly consistent, but to be honest, underperforming, I would say, compared to what he had been last season. I think it was like about 46 for his last five, which obviously the negatives for conceding have obviously increased and things like that. Yeah. So that's going to affect that. But the one that I've included separately, Russ, was Aziz Bahic. Purely on the basis that the last two games he scored in, He scored at the weekend, scored midweek, very well taken goals. And I think for his 0.05 price, that could be one that's well worth having a look at. It's one that's halfway tempting me for a threshold defender. And, you know, I'm thinking of maybe trading in Andy Considine for Behich, for example, because I think I might get that odd decisive as opposed to, you know, a consistent 50. I think sometimes you need that, though.
I'd like a wee rule that Dundee fans probably can't hold United cards, but it's probably not going to come into play, is it?
I'm going to argue that one because right from day one, I held United cards.
You did?
And, because ultimately, I couldn't care less which club they play for. If they get me to the threshold or get me to a card or I make profit on them, happy days. That's all I care
Fair
about.
Take. Fair
Absolutely
take.
Could not give a monkey's. And I know that'll probably surprise like Celtic and Rangers fans won't hold each other's cards, but I could not care less. But yeah, so league position, they moved off the bottom of the league last night, Russ.
We did indeed.
On goals scored, I believe. So there's a three-way tie at the bottom now. We've got Killie, United and Ross County all on 8 points, which is three more than you had when you got relegated in 2015-16 season, Russ. So that was a big one to avoid last night. High point and low point, I've mentioned them both already. High point has to be the weekend, 4-0 against Aberdeen. Obviously, you could go the AZ game. But I'm looking at league games here.
Yeah.
4-0 against Aberdeen, I don't think that's debatable. Last night's score against Hibs was a big win as well. But the low point, I don't think anybody could argue, it was the 9-0 lashing at Tannadice. But I won't belabor that point because I kicked you enough when it happened. So that's my take on United at the moment.
I think that's fair enough. United obviously were fourth last season. Obviously languishing a fair bit lower in the table, but seem to hopefully have turned the corner. I can see obviously just I can see an improvement in the all-round performances when I've been watching the games. So hopefully we'll continue to climb the table.
One can I just throw one in on that, Russ? Do you think the change of formation back to what was working last season with the three central defenders and the wing backs? Do you think that's made the bigger difference? Because obviously Jack Ross moved away from that, and since you know, the last couple of games, certainly, maybe the team have started to gel back into that.
They played, obviously, you know, I think 95% of the games last season, and it seemed to work. The way that it works for me, yeah, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, but just very briefly, obviously, Edwards, you've got the height, you've got the heading, you've got the sort of rawness, and you've also got the sort of attacking prowess. Now, I don't feel he's performing as well as he did last season now that he's got the captaincy. I feel that's kind of hindering him. But yeah, you know, obviously you've got that sort of height and power there. Mulgrew normally, when fit, gives you the sort of the guile, the positioning sense, the sort of vast experience at both from like Celtic, Blackburn and sort of Scotland International. So he's good at marshalling and commanding. And then you've got the sort of the Ross Graham, who gives you like the pace and got a bit of sort of athleticism about him, maybe a wee bit sort of less noose about him in the fact that he's still a young player. But Scott McMahon's also been playing in and around sort of the centre half, as is, you know, there's been a wee bit of cover just shifting depending on what we need. Liam Smith had a game there as well, so they've all kind of shifted around. I definitely feel that. Well, the proof's in the pudding. The team's had two clean sheets and won a couple of games, and we were looking really, really desperate only 2-3 weeks ago. For me, I do believe that I think we will climb the table. Obviously, we've got a lot of ground to make up and stuff, but yeah, it's looking quite promising. The only downside, obviously, given how many goals we've conceded, you know, we conceded 44 last season across the entire campaign, and we're exactly at half of that 10 games in to the season this year. So we've got a wee bit of work to do. However, I do feel that we will score more goals than the 37 that we only scored last season. So we were obviously a very tight team and quite a hard to beat team with a lot of nil-nils, one-nils, one-alls and things like that. So just looking at the United, we've got some players obviously that have left just to finish us up. So Sigrist.
I would say, you know, I would have said up until a couple of games ago a big miss, but I think Eriksen seems to have come into a game himself. I think last night he had something like 7 or 8 saves in the game. I think he'd has definitely picked things up. And if you'd asked me that a few weeks ago, I probably wouldn't have said that, you know. But maybe he's got more comfortable into the position. So
yeah, okay.
I would still probably say a miss though.
Okay, Lewis Nielsen at the back, obviously at Hearts now.
I probably would say yes, just to an extent, just because what they've had to rotate when you know, you're having to technically play boys out of position.
Okay.
Where, you know, to cover like Muldrew being out, for example.
Yeah, Callum Butcher.
Probably missed his dig, but has you know, has his, I think his day had been and gone.
Okay, fair enough. Mark Connolly, who was out on loan last season, so yeah, okay. Trevor Carson, who never got a chance and is now holding the St Mirren goal. So,
and he's actually been not bad at St Mirren as well. He was a good goalkeeper, so that, letting him go was actually quite a surprise, to be honest.
Yeah, Adrian Sporley, who was always on the wide left or left back.
Not now that Behich is coming into a game, to be fair.
Okay. I'm not even going to ask you yes or no on Max Biamu, who basically got like 20 minutes or something for us.
I was going to say who?
Yeah, he does have a card. Kevin McDonald?
No, not really. Unfortunately, obviously a former Dundee youth academy player. I think his legs are done. I think obviously after his health scare, it kind of
derailed things. Nicky Clark?
I'm going to say yes, but he didn't get the game time this season. You know, they've missed goals. You know, you've got Fletcher and Watt, but you've got other positions that are actually outscoring them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's maybe where United are lacking, is the goals. But is that the creative process as opposed to the goals? You know, because that, you know, and then again, I don't know. But I think I'm surprised he went, they allowed him to go to Perth, to be honest, you know, to a rival team.
Yeah, I think for me as a United fan, obviously Fletcher coming in, I was looking quite excited. Middleton, I kind of class more as a sort of slightly wider player. I know he has been used a few times through the middle. Watt was being moved. He was playing a lot on the left.
He has played a lot wider,
a lot wider, which automatically you're not always in those fully goal scoring positions. So these things obviously are factors. For me, I probably would have, I think I would have kept Nicky Clark, given that he's, you know, over the years he's scored goals for United. I think probably what will happen, in truth, is that he would be arguably probably missed in the first 9-10 games. But if United go on this run now, then it'll be a case of then he wouldn't be missed, would probably be the reality. So players that have come in, we've got Mark Berichetti, the Aussie goalkeeper that came in. Hit or a miss?
Miss.
Okay. Aziz Behich?
Up until the last couple of weeks, I probably would have said miss. But the last two games there, I'm going to say hit.
Ooh, and as I say, we'll maybe keep an eye on your gallery just to see for your eyes. Glenn Middleton. Now, to my knowledge, I don't believe there's a card for Glenn at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think so. It hit and miss, I would say. It's kind of one of those in the middle. Enough.
Okay. Dylan Levitt obviously was on loan last season, but is now a permanent member of the United squad.
He's going to be a hit. Okay. Things go through him when he plays well. So.
And Jamie McGrath, who obviously is top of the pile. It's an automatic hit. Stephen Fletcher.
Judy's out.
Yeah, fair enough. Craig Sibbald.
A bit of fight, maybe.
It's a wee bit of that dick that Butcher had.
That's exactly what I was about to say. He's not the same player. I mean, he doesn't look like a cup, for example, with the two handles.
Fair enough.
But he does have the dig. So, yeah, I'll grant you that one.
And the final one I've got, and again, to my knowledge, there is no card at the moment, Sadat Anaku. Young
striker.
Okay.
I think it's the game time hit.
So there's a bit of a review on three of the clubs. We've obviously given a wee bit of sort of opinion, and there's obviously some number-based material there as well. Final thing, just to wrap up with, Chris, would just be the last week's challenge. We're not going to put the new challenge in this week, but just last week's challenge, we picked four players each. Can you remember what the scored?
We've got I got a total of 158 points, Russ. I had 38 from Lukui from Bilbao, 39 from Johnny Hayes against United. Vernon Anita, 44 points against Groningen.
That's right.
And Gabriel Xavier, he got 39 points against Avispa. So 158 points, sadly.
Okay, so I had a look at mine, and 145 for mine on an equal weekend of non-performance. Again, Anita had him, so that's 44 points. Sebastian Poulter, 34 off the bench. Pell Clement, Anita's partner in crime in midfield, 35. And Nicky Devlin, sadly, for Livingston, only scored 32. So it was only 145 points. But we did state that sometimes this will hit, sometimes it will miss.
Yes.
I think when we originally done this, and I'll very quickly just go over it, that we looked at this obviously as teams that could possibly potentially hit the threshold or could be thrown into the underdog to try and challenge with hopefully getting over 250 points on a good week. One of the things that I kind of thought of was that for 0.015, you can pick up a keeper, which means you would be able to throw this into rare. So that would become a 0.175. Team to play the rare for the threshold fully. So I think moving forward, we're going to do a few more of these challenges. Did you have anything for this week or did you not?
I did.
All right, okay. Do you want to quickly wrap up? We'll
yeah,
wrap
let's,
up with
let's
them.
Rattle yeah, through because okay. You know what? It's four players that you could keep an eye on. Prices are low because what we chose to do was the Americas.
That's right. We forgot to put the poll up. We'll put the poll up tonight, though.
We'll put the poll up tonight. Yeah, we didn't put a poll up. We'll put a poll up tonight. But yeah, it's the Americas. That way, it's coming to the end of the season for all these teams. So you were getting some of these players for really good value. If you could hold them, great. So I've went with Carlos Arancia from Santos Laguna. He has a last five of 54, Russ. 0.028.
Okay.
So nice, cheap, and cheerful to get started. Mm-hmm. Alberto Quintero from Universitario in Peru. Last five of 50. 0.031. Mm-hmm. Franco Moyana from Argentinos Juniors, last five of 54, 0.037. And then for the forward, I actually had two players, Russ, that were both firm favourites of yours. One that you hold and one that you've mentioned countless times on the pod. So I went with something different. And that was Jader O'Brien from Dallas, mm-hmm. last five of 43 only. However, his price was 0.04. So all told, that was 0.136, which was a grand total of £160, Russ. So that would leave you that money left over to go and buy a goalkeeper, put that in to the All-Star team. And as it averages, you're looking at, that's 158. It's 201 points. But then you'd obviously have your bonus scores on top of that for your card as well. So you would be looking at, and the captain, you'd be looking at the minimum threshold on that one. So that's the ones I went with for £160.
Okay. I think it's fair to say that we're not advising MB to buy these this week because it's the end of their season. We just thought for challenge purposes, so Chris has won up based on last week. He outscored me. Don't buy these this week unless you've got loads of spare ETH and you're looking at
that's
next
it.
Season.
It's ones
this
if
is
you
just
want
for
to,
the challenge.
If it's ones you want to pick up and hold, they're going to be finishing the seasons with 50 plus scores on them.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the start of the new season, they've got high averages, and that's what boys look at. They don't often look beyond that five. So you could cash in on them in January, February.
Yeah.
If you did buy them.
But don't buy them to play just for
no,
the
not for the sake of a week.
Okay. So I have gone with four players, and I've tried to manipulate the budget here. But I've worked it well. So I've gone with Alvis Powell at Cincinnati, who has a game against the Red Bulls in the playoff. And he is coming, he's a right back, and he is coming in at 0.3. So 0.30. I've gone for Brett Kalman at Minnesota, who has been getting a run of games.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a game against, they're playing against Dallas, and you can pick him up for 0.18. So that was which allowed me to kind of spend a little bit more on my forward, who is Samuel Granser. At Galaxy, a bit of a favourite of mine.
He was the one I was talking about.
All right, okay. So he was 0.066. They've got a game against Nashville. And my final player to make up the four is a player, and I believe he's pronounced Ale, but it's spelled Ale, A-L-E. So he plays for America. They've got a game against Fortaleza in the Brazilian League. 0.039. I think it comes in at a grand total of 0.153, which is still under the 0.16. Yes. So moving forward, as I say, overall, if you're wanting to put these teams when we do them for the European leagues, it's roughly about 0.175 to play them in the actual threshold. Bear in mind, obviously, we're going to try and put different leagues out, but the idea would be that you wouldn't want to be changing and swapping in and out of teams if you're playing on a low budget. You just pick one of the ones in the European and maybe give it a whirl. But that's all I've got this week, Chris.
Perfect. That's all I've got as well. It's been quite a lengthy episode, but I think we've covered a lot of really good ground, especially around, you know, obviously we're trading and giving you an insight to some of these Scottish teams. So without further ado, I will say farewell for myself and farewell for him. We'll be back next week, and take care and have good luck in your game weeks.